I'm Peter Rohde and welcome to Terminally Quantum, recorded at the Quantum Terminal in Sydney, Australia, where we discuss everything quantum. The Quantum Terminal is a first-of-its-kind co-working quantum hub that supports startups in quantum technology, high-performance computing, artificial intelligence, and adjacent technology companies. TQT provides the perfect energy, convenience, and community mix to attract new networking partners in the iconic Central Station Sydney Terminal building. Today's guest is Dr. Minxue Shi, director of the quantum program at Foxconn in Taiwan and previously an academic at the University of Technology, Sydney. Minxue, thank you very much for having us, for joining us today, and it's great to finally have you on the show again.
Ah, thank you, Peter. It's my pleasure to be back to Sydney. I always love the weather and the live quality here.
It occurred to us earlier when you visited UTS that we see you as a result of COVID just as often as we see my other colleagues.
Ah, that's right. That's quite funny that you see me just as often as you see your colleague.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your own background and how you came to join Foxconn and what Foxconn's goals are in the context of the global quantum economy?
Okay. So maybe let me give a short introduction of myself. So I did my PhD in University of Southern California from 2003 to 2008, and then I spent 2 years in University of Tokyo in Japan, and then after that I spent 2 years in University of Cambridge in UK, and then I joined UTS in 2012, and ever since then I spent 8 years before I have this opportunity to join Foxconn. Yes, I'm quite happy to be able to take this up, to take this position and lead the quantum effort in Foxconn. So basically, because this is still a research institute, so what we did is still like research focused. But after joining Foxconn, we spent a lot of time to find user cases for quantum technologies. So maybe later on we can.
So when you say research focused, do you mean sort of more fundamental type of research, or are you really? Do you have the ambition of building a large scale quantum computer? What's the goal there?
So right now, the research institute has a research center that I'm the director, and we also have a trapped ion laboratories who are trying to build a quantum device out of ion. So, I mean, we have the plan to have our own quantum devices as well as we build these quantum applications.
Right. Yeah. So basically, every company that I'm familiar with in this sector finds itself placing a bet on one kind of physical architecture or another. And there are countless such architectures, and nobody has any idea which one is going to win. So companies inevitably choose one that they're going to put their money in. So it might be a controversial question, but where are you placing your bets and what's the reason for that?
So, after evaluating all kinds of factors of different hardware technologies, we believe trapped ion has its own advantage. So this is why we choose trapped ion to start with.
So Minxue, give us some of the research highlights, if you could, that are coming out of your center.
So basically we focus quite broadly in the quantum technology. So for example, we have people working on quantum communications. We have people working on quantum simulations, quantum communications, as well as quantum computations. So we focus on like all aspects of quantum technologies in
right.
our center.
So that's quite broad. How big is your team there to support that kind of research diversity?
Yeah, so we roughly have, including interns, we roughly have 20 members now. So mm-hmm. it's quite a big group.
And is that mainly people from an academic background or PhD
yes.
students?
That's basically people with PhD degree and internships, and we allowed remote interns. So I have plenty of interns from overseas.
Right. And so is there a goal to expand or is this going to be a steady state for a while?
So the overall headcount could be 40. So we still have we could still double the size of the quantum research center. And we also have another 40 plus incomes, headcounts from the trap ion laboratories.
Right. Yeah. So tell me, as quantum technology matures and it becomes more mainstream, how do you see the career market developing here? Because what you just described was basically people from an academic background or going into an academic background. But if you look at like conventional IT, there are jobs for all different sorts of skill levels. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a Python scripter or a back-end developer or a front-end developer or mm-hmm. a systems mm-hmm. engineer, like there are jobs for all sorts of skill levels, whether you're straight out of high school or have a PhD. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the quantum sector is going to evolve into something like that? Or do you think it's going to remain something that's incredibly specialized?
No, I think in the long run, I believe you would just like what you describe, but right now it's still quite, like the quantum technology is still quite in early stage. So, and that's why in the research center, we are still quite research focused because at least I believe quantum technology would only be ready in another 10 years.
That's your gut feeling, that's when it'll start to happen?
At least large-scale quantum computing. I believe that if it's like small-scale, right, quantum sensors or like small-scale simulations, you already see many papers working on that kind of problems, like using noisy device and you could build up EEG circuit to do optimization task. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you want your quantum computer to really, for example, break ISA code, you would require large scale quantum computers, and that would only happen, I believe, in maybe 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Foxconn, it sounds like the environment is very similar to an academic research environment. It sounds almost identical to like a university environment. It's just that it's in the private sector, mm-hmm. and you publish research in journals the way we do. Mm-hmm. Is there more to it? Are you also developing lots of IP or in-house things that you keep to yourselves?
No, I mean, we do focus quite a lot on creating IP, and we also... So if you want me to name specific tasks that is different from the old times when I was in the academia, is that I started to talk to different communities mm-hmm. in order to find use cases for quantum technology. So for example, last year we collaborating with a pharmaceutical startup from United States, and we're trying to see whether quantum computation can become useful in drug discovery.
So this is at the level of simulating molecular interactions or that kind of thing?
So the idea is to... So in this startup, they use AI to search specific small molecule for drug manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And in our project, instead of using AI, we use quantum computation to did the same task.
And what kind of advantage do you see or do you expect to see compared to classical techniques?
Yeah, so I think this is quite interesting because in this kind of task, time complexity is not the issue. I mean, it's not the critical issue there. But I think the benchmark is to see whether you could find interesting molecules that is drug ready. Mm-hmm. And there are different benchmarks, for example, whether it's easy to resolve in waters and how, and also to see whether the structure looks like a known drug or not. So there are different benchmarks. And from our numeric simulations, we do find certain advantage that comes from quantum compute devices. And the performance is better than kind of like the standard technique used in AI communities.
Right. And so I guess normally, if I understand it right, the process when these types of simulations take place is first they do simulations, they find candidate molecules, mm-hmm. and then they start testing them on potentially on humans eventually. Mm-hmm. So how does this technology fit into that workflow? Is the goal to
That's before you put in experiment on people. So you have to identify reasonable structure first, because it really depends on whether your oxygen or hydrogen atoms positioned in your structure, mm-hmm. and different arrangement of oxygen or hydrogen atoms would make the molecule to have completely different effect on the body. Mm-hmm. So the research here is to find a good structure so that you could produce a drug out of this structure. And then you can use that to, and then you once this is done, then you can test on human bodies.
I guess one big upcoming area of medicine, mm-hmm. is personalized medicine, mm-hmm. where they look at your genotype, what your DNA is, mm-hmm. and figure out what your genes are and what your different genetic vulnerabilities or predispositions are. Mm-hmm. So would this potentially be a value in this whole personalized drug design thing, where you're trying to design a custom drug or targeted drug for a particular individual, or is this more for mass production of medicines?
No, I think this is still in early stage research domain. I think what you mentioned, like a personalized drug, might be a potential user case for quantum technology, but in our research, we did not go that far yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were talking before about part of your research is finding use cases, mm-hmm. for quantum technology. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the most exciting use cases in your mind?
I think this drug, this collaboration with the drug company, the drug startup, is really interesting, because we really see the quantum devices produce very interesting drug molecules, and the score from those drug molecules that we discover using quantum devices are higher than the score that you use typical AI tools that in their community. So I think this is quite exciting.
Could you explain in a fairly not too technical way, why it is that quantum algorithms are particularly good at this type of simulation compared to classical techniques?
I think the basic idea is that, I mean, if you know certain quantum knowledge, we know that quantum device or quantum circuit can produce certain distribution that are hard to be found using classical approaches. For example, this IQP circuit, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this would give us certain power from our quantum device, because then you probably can search through this different parameter space, and that would give you a good structure.
Right. So it gives you an advantage in exploring what is this exponentially large parameter space,
yes.
For the way molecules can be configured,
yes.
and interact.
Yes.
And you're,
yes.
cutting that down by exploiting the exponentiality of the quantum techniques.
Yeah, I think this is the reason behind that. So quantum device can produce certain distribution that are difficult to be identified using classical approaches.
This seems like an incredibly valuable market to target. I mean, obviously, medicine is one of the biggest industries that exists,
and
such a big one that even if you can find very small efficiency improvements, mm-hmm. that can translate to astronomical amounts of resources that you save.
Yes, that's what we hope for when we started this research.
And how hopeful are you that it's going to actually materialize that way? Do you think that in the future we're all going to be using drugs that were developed with the assistance of quantum technology?
I mean, I'm an optimist of
quantum
technology. Yeah, because
well, you have to be.
I have been working in quantum technology for 20 years. So, I hope that will come one day, right?
Yeah. So, tell me, What sort of people are you looking for when as a private sector company, what are you looking for in people that would come to work for you? Suppose someone from the younger generation, just graduating university, is thinking, this sounds like an exciting area that I'd like to get into. What advice would you give to them to try and break into this exciting field?
No, I think this field is still young and small, so definitely we welcome all kinds of people, whoever, as long as you have interest in learning quantum technologies. I think the field is very friendly, in my opinion. Mm. So you get to work with people in good environment. I think this is what everyone hopes for.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is certainly quite a close knit community.
Yes. Yes.
And one where sort of everybody seems to know everybody, but, yes. But no doubt as it expands, that's going to stop being the case.
Yes.
So give me your employment pitch. If someone was looking for a job in the quantum sector, mm-hmm. why should they come and work for you at Foxconn?
Oh, I think right now we are still very kind of like research focus and academia focus, right? And so this is a very open, we allow open discussion and everything is, I mean, you can do very exciting research project that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you currently hiring?
Oh, yes. So we constantly have position opening. So if you want to do postdoc, and we even are looking for permanent position of all level. So if you are interested in working with us, just let me know.
Right. Now, currently you're visiting Sydney from Taiwan. Tell us about what your visit is all about and your current tour.
Oh, yes. So I think this is quite interesting. So I have been meeting many people in Sydney. So from the chief scientist office, from S3B, and also talking to Peter Turner from the City Quantum Academy. So I think one of the main goal of this trip is to try to encourage collaboration between the Honghai Foxconn Research Institute with the quantum community here in Australia. So I really want to see some formal collaboration to be put forward.
Mm-hmm.
Things like signing MOU and even establish kind of like industrial project between Foxconn and the quantum community here.
So you mentioned the Sydney Quantum Academy here in Sydney, and Australia, as you know, is placing a big focus on quantum technology. There's mm-hmm. a national quantum strategy mm-hmm. coming into place. There's the Sydney Quantum Academy. We've got all these universities integrating their quantum research programs. Does Taiwan have a similar sort of national quantum strategy or aiming towards something similar?
Oh, yes. So the government put forward a quantum national initiative like 3 years ago. They offer up to a couple hundred millions. I would have to double check the amount, but this is the government initiated this national quantum initiative that unite the quantum communities from Taiwan.
So is this in the form of grants, or is this in the form of providing seed funding for startups? Or
it's basically the funding for the universities.
Right.
To unite the different groups from different universities.
So it's still quite heavy on the academic side.
Yes.
And not so much on the private sector.
Exactly.
Side.
Exactly. Unfortunately, the industrial sectors, like quantum industrial sector in Taiwan, is very small. Like right now, only Foxconn put in resource to kind of like set up a designated department, like
right.
Us to focus on quantum technology.
I was just about to ask that about whether what the whole playing field is like in Taiwan. But from what you're saying, it sounds like you're sort of a sole player at the moment.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, it
well,
is.
I mean, position yourself as a monopoly could be very good for you.
Yeah, so we get the best trained personnel.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes, and it certainly means you can pick and choose from yes. All the graduates from the universities.
Yes, indeed. It's kind of a privilege now.
Do you think that that's going to change and that there'll be more participants entering the quantum market in Taiwan in the coming future?
I definitely think so. The industry kind of like paying more and more attention to the quantum technology now. So there are all kind of seminars mm-hmm. happening in Taiwan, discussing like again user cases of quantum technology from different sectors.
Great. Well, thank you very much for telling us about Taiwan's quantum programs at the moment. That's really insightful, and hearing about Foxconn in particular. To finish up, for those of you who don't already know, we have the Quantum Australia Conference coming up next month in February here in Sydney, both in person and by video. And that's from the 21st to the 23rd of February in 2023. And that's an industry conference as opposed to an academic conference where you get to meet not just the academics doing research in the field, but also all the private sector players and the government agencies involved as well. Minshu, thank you very much for joining us, and we hope to see you here again on your next visit.
Okay, thank you, Peter, and thank you for inviting me to join this show. Thank you.